we move from here now? Okay, I think, yeah. Okay, thank you, INAC, for your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, continue on. The next interveners will be Environment Canada. Can we have them sworn in or affirm?
Glenn Robert Groskopf, G-L-E-N-N. Groskopf is G-R-O-S-K-O-P-F.
And you swear that the evidence to be given by you shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Would you state your full name and spell it for the record?
Ann Wilson, A-N-N-E-W-I-L-S-O-N.
And do you swear that the evidence to be given by you shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I so swear.
Thank you. Please go ahead, Environment Canada.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. My name is Ann Wilson. I work with Environment Canada as a water pollution specialist. With me today is Glenn Groskopf, who's a mining specialist also with Environment Canada. I would like to also acknowledge other folks at EC who helped with the submission. Ivy Stone worked on abandonment and reclamation, Wade Romanko on emergencies, and Dave Fox on incineration. To give you an overview of the presentation ahead, I'm going to just have one slide on our mandate. Then we'll go into the water quality and groundwater issues. I'll turn it over to Glenn next for tailings and waste rock management. Then I'll discuss some waste management, emergencies, and closure and reclamation issues. There, the next slide, please. Do we have a remote?
Cool. Oh, there it is.
Okay, with respect to our mandate and role, the primary relevant legislation and standards that EC either administers or adheres to, which influence this presentation, include Section 36(3) of the Fisheries Act, and those are the pollution prevention provisions. Also, the Metal Mining Effluent Regulations, the Canadian Environmental Protection Act, and two sets of Canada-wide standards for mercury emissions and for dioxins and furans. The water quality issues that I'm going to cover today include lake dewatering, the aquatic monitoring programs, setting effluent quality criteria, the water quality predictions that AEM has made, water quality in the Pitt Lakes, and a slide on groundwater monitoring. To go to lake dewatering, AEM has two main areas that they're going to be drawing down the natural lakes to make room for their attenuation ponds and to manage water. When they're doing this dewatering, the amounts they can discharge will have to be controlled by the amount of sediments in the water in order to protect the waters that they're being discharged to. EC had some specific comments on the monitoring and various ways to regulate it. We recommend the, we support the approach outlined by AEM in their dike construction and dewatering management plan. We had recommended the use of discrete samples, and AEM has clarified that the values they use to judge whether water is having an effect or not in the environment is the maximum in a profile, so they are using discrete samples. It's also been clarified for me that the use of a six-day average for TSS isn't necessary. They are using, for their monthly averages, all of the days in the 30-day. So 7 days was fine as they proposed. I had misread that. We would also recommend submission of a dewatering plan as a condition of the water license. And this would just be a simple plan that states what they're going to do, when, and their thresholds. They've got a lot of that in their current plan. The next slide is to do with their water quality monitoring programs. There's a lot of monitoring that has to go on at this site. They've got the SNP monitoring or their compliance monitoring, which is internal to the project. There's the receiving environment monitoring, also known as aquatic effects monitoring or management planning. And then under the metal mining effluent regulations, there's the environmental effects or EEM monitoring programs. We would also like to see ongoing groundwater monitoring. This is an important aspect for water management and closure planning. Oh, and one I haven't mentioned on my slide is the DFO fisheries authorization monitoring. So how are all of these going to be harmonized? Well, there are a few differences between the types of programs. And one of the reasons we want to have the aquatic effects management plan in addition to the EEM is there are timing issues with the EEM. The reporting timelines are a little bit long for good management action in the EEM. The AEMP would have annual reporting and be used more immediately for their adaptive management. So they'll see right away if something is going a direction it shouldn't and be able to take the right action. The AEMP would also presumably include some way to measure if we're seeing more productivity in the lake, which means right now the lakes don't have a lot of fish or a lot of algae or phytoplankton or zooplankton. But is the mine adding nutrients that are making the lakes be more productive? That isn't normally included under an EEM. So we're looking for a comprehensive program that gives the EEM components, which are required by law, and supports them with AEM information. The proponent has done a good job of giving us a framework for this, and I was able to read their 2006 and 2007 reports last night, briefly, very quickly, and they have covered pretty much what we would hope they would. There are a few minor details that we would like to see addressed or updated or changed. And I think that once the water license is issued, it's important to have all this monitoring formalized in a consolidated plan and further construction phase sampling and analysis plans provided, you know, beyond the first one that we've got now for the construction of dikes and dewatering. As far as the timing, there was a bit of discussion yesterday with INAC's presentation, and thinking about the timing issue as far as having the first update done in